You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
7 years ago, John Maloof bought a box at a Chicago auction for $380. It turned out to contain thousands of negatives of remarkable black and white street photographs from the 1950s to the 1970s that had been taken by a woman named Vivian Mayer. Mr. Maloof and Charlie Siskel have co-directed a documentary called Finding Vivian Mayer that looks into the mysterious story of this incredibly talented but until recently unknown artist. It opens today at the IFC Center and the Lincoln Plaza Cinema. And I'm very pleased to welcome co-directors John Maloof and Charlie Siskel to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
John, you were a real estate salesman at the time. Did you just buy this box on a whim?
Yeah, I mean, I was a lot of things before this, but at that time I was doing real estate for a few years, and I was working on a history book of my neighborhood in Chicago. You know, those little small, thin sepia-colored books by Arcadia. Published one about Portage Park with a friend of mine, and I needed photos to illustrate the history of the neighborhood. And so I went to this auction looking for family photo albums.
And you thought that $380 was okay?
There's a lot of negatives there. There was a ton. And so I figured, you know, $380. I was actually at the time the president of the local historical society. So I thought, you know, whatever. If I don't use these, maybe they'll be of use to some other, you know.
But you didn't print any of the pictures for a couple of years. Why did you wait?
Well, so printing was actually a while. I mean, I started scanning them in maybe after 6 months. So I waited because I couldn't use them for the book, and so I didn't know what to do with them. And so I put them in my closet. I finished the book, and I took them out, and I started looking at them. And the work actually inspired me to take on photography myself, because I wasn't a photographer. I was a real estate agent. And it was in me doing that and learning photography and taking a class and reading books that I learned that the work was better than I thought.
And what did you do when you realized that Vivian Mayer was quite a remarkable artist?
Well, I thought she was good. I didn't know she was good. I thought she was good to me. So I made a little blog, and I put maybe 100 or 200 of her photos on there. Nobody went to it for a few months. Then I posted a link on Flickr on the Hardcore Street Photography group saying, and what should I do with this work? And he linked it to that blog. And then it basically validated my assumption that she was good.
People said, in the film Charlie, she's praised by the likes of Joel Meyerowitz and Mary Ellen Mark, two pretty great photographers in their own right. What do they say makes Vivian's work stand out as street photography?
Well, I think Vivian's work is now being recognized both as a wonderful chronicle of the time that she was living in, so there's a historical importance to her work, but both critics and other photographers and certainly the public are recognizing a real artist in Vivian's photographs. She was interested in many different subjects. She was documenting class issues and had a particular interest in the disenfranchised and the poor, but she was also interested in women's fashion and architecture. She also took photographs that showed the political strife of the 60s and 70s times when she was very active taking photographs. So I think she's being recognized both as a real artist and her work and the historical importance of her work.
Why did she prefer a twin lens Rolleiflex over one of the 35 millimeter SLR cameras that most street photographers favor, and many of them like Leicas because they're so light?
They didn't have SLRs when she started.
Uh-huh. But they did have Leicas.
They had the Yeah, they had the Leicas. There's a weird coincidence when she took on the Rolleiflex, because that's when Lisette Modell was teaching at the New School for Social Research in New York, in Manhattan, actually, where Vivian, in 1951, basically, and that's when Vivian bought the Rolleiflex.
Well, the Rolleiflex allows you to look down into a fairly large image as you hang the camera from your neck rather than putting it up to your eye, and That probably allowed her to be more discreet when she was taking these pictures, because you have to have a certain amount of courage when you're doing street photography, especially if you are going really close to your subject.
Yep. And she did use a Leica later in her life, though. 1976 is when she went to color, 1976. And she was using all the various 35mm formats.
So did she make prints from any of these negatives? Did she make contact sheets like most people do after they developed the film?
No contact sheets. She made some prints. I think a lot of the early prints were drugstore prints, the smaller ones, because they're really well done. And all the prints that she made are not all the best. In fact, most of them are very poorly printed. But she didn't make a lot of prints.
Well, she must have been aware that she was doing something special. She took her camera everywhere, and she developed a distinctive style. So the mystery is, why, after she did all of this, went to all of this work, didn't she bother bringing these pictures to somebody, whether a publication or an art gallery, to find out whether other people thought they were good?
That's the central mystery in the film, and sort of the puzzle of Vivian's life as we've told her story. I think people have made a lot of the notion that, you know, Vivian was an artist creating art for art's sake, and that she somehow wanted all of her work to be kept private, never to be seen, never to be tainted by, you know, public consumption. But as we point out in the film, Vivian did make at least one attempt that we know of to have her work printed, and presumably to have it seen. She sent a letter to someone in France who was a printer in her childhood home in a French village, and the idea was that she would send her negatives, which she said were quite good, and she would have them printed, and this was not this wasn't she had also had landscape photographs done as postcards with him, so this is someone whose work that she knew, but she described night shots, which presumably were not for for postcards. These would have been what we now consider to be her art. You know, we think that this was probably not the best plan. If Vivian truly wanted to get her work seen, she probably could have found a printer in either New York or another American city, Chicago maybe. But she was certainly shy and private, and she probably feared rejection as many artists do. And so a combination of things probably conspired to make it so that Vivian's work wasn't seen during her lifetime, and that, of course, as we see it, is a tragedy. Not because Vivian would have wanted fame, but we think Vivian would have certainly appreciated the recognition that she's received, and seeing how her work has brought pleasure to so many people, has really moved people, and people have connected with her art.
But, John, since she was reclusive and mysterious, how did you go about finding out about Vivian Maier, who she was,
you know,
who
the,
she knew?
The family that took care of her later in her life, that she worked for almost 17 years, they managed to find a receipt in her apartment when they cleaned it out of a storage facility, and they just kept paying the bills. So when I found them, through just an address on her stuff, they told me that they were going to throw all the stuff out. So I took everything that they were going to throw out. Now, in that were just a truckload, literally a truckload of books and newspapers and receipts and
she was
mail.
A hoarder.
Oh, she was a hoarder, yeah. So there was all this stuff that all I had to do was sift through it. Literally, a receipt from 84. I called up. It was a bookstore. And that person knew Vivian. And is in the film.
And you spoke to a number of people who knew her. They describe her as, paradoxical, eccentric. Did they talk about what they thought was going on when she took her camera everywhere?
Basically, every person who knew she was taking pictures just saw her with the camera. They thought she was taking photos of just the children and stuff. But nobody knew that she was taking street photography or anything like that. that this was any...
We actually had someone tell us they thought there wasn't any film in the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That gives you an idea.
Well, so they must have thought she was really eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decided at a certain point to make a film about this. You and Charlie. Well, Charlie, how did you come into this?
So John had started to, as he found people who knew Vivian, and of course they only knew her as a nanny, not as a photographer, he started to shoot some interviews with them. And Jeff Garlin, who is an executive producer on the film, he's from Chicago, as is John, as am I, he befriended John, said, I'd love to help you with this project, help you make the film. And John needed a partner. He hadn't made a documentary before. And so Jeff got in touch with me and asked me if I was interested in working with John on the film. John and I spoke, and I found out that not only did he have over 100,000 of Vivian's photographs, but there were hours and hours of Super 8 footage that Vivian had shot, hours of audio recordings, mini sort of radio documentaries that Vivian had made where she would interview people about politics or about entertainment.
And then do nothing with them.
Yeah, and so, yeah, Vivian was really, she was kind of a self-appointed journalist without an audience, without listeners.
Now, many people have made the point that it's a surprise that a nanny would have done all of this, but I'm shocked by that. Why wouldn't a nanny be a great artist? Why wouldn't anybody be a great artist in another part of their life?
Well, I don't think anybody said that they couldn't be a great artist. It was shocking to see photos of bloody people on the streets, you know, being dragged by cops and in the dark alleys, drunk men on a stoop that was taken with a flash at night by a female and a nanny. That was shocking.
Did you, wasn't this partly financed through a Kickstarter program?
Partly, yes. Yeah, the pre-production, even some of the first... traveling to France and stuff was financed through Kickstarter.
In your director statement, John, you asked this question: would she like what I'm doing? Have you come to any conclusion?
I mean, with the photos, you know, after we find this letter and we, you know, meet the people in France and everything, that, you know, they say, yeah, that this was a place where Vivian, you know, had ties to, and the letter says that she had intentions to print her work and sell it. That makes me feel better about, you know, the process of publishing and showing the world her work, because it doesn't seem like she wanted to, you know, keep it hidden from everybody and that she had intentions to destroy it or anything like that. So so the work itself, I think she'd be happy with to some degree. You know, the film, I mean, she was doing this with other people, you know, with her own movies and her own audio tapes and her camera. She was making documentaries in her own way. So we're doing this on her.
You mentioned in the film that Vivian Maier was very distant from her family. Have any of her relatives gotten in touch with you since you started doing this?
I got in touch with them. So that was the whole thing. You know, I'm trying to find who is related. You know, we have four genealogists, two in the U.S., two in France. And so we found, of course, the relatives living in France.
And have they seen the film?
We haven't translated it yet in French, but they will.
You put her photographs on Flickr. That was your first decision? That was the way you were trying to find out whether anybody thought these were good? Did you have a sense that they were good?
Well, yeah. Like I said, I had a sense they were good, but I didn't know... You know, I was being, you know, realistic. You know, I like this. I don't know. I don't have a history of, you know, photography to understand if I just like them and they're really not good stacked up to the greats, you know. So that was the whole point of doing that.
Charlie, do you know that earlier in our show we had Jerry Bruckheimer here? And when he heard that we were talking about Vivian Maier, he said, oh, I bought one of her pictures.
Well, it is amazing to see how people have they have not waited for the stamp of approval from institutions to tell them that Vivian's work is good, and people have a connection to the work itself because it speaks to them directly. I think if you look at Vivian's photographs, it's undeniable that that she was a great artist. And you know, the institutions that play a sort of cultural gatekeeping function, museums and critics and that sort of thing, of course are slower to recognize an artist who emerges suddenly on the scene, someone whose work was undiscovered. That sort of thing doesn't happen overnight. They're not canonized instantly. But obviously, the goal from the beginning for John, I think, was to you know, as he says, put Vivian in the history books. And in making the film, I wanted to see that I wanted to both follow how that happens and see you know, whether that would be successful, and also be able to show that sometimes and in this day and age, it's possible for an artist like Vivian to get their due without the stamp of approval from those institutions, and that may come later.
Well, when you look at the work, it brings to mind some pretty great photographers like Walker Evans, Lizette Modell, Helen Levitt. Is she better than they are? Some of these pictures look like they could hang in the same galleries as these greats. And I guess the big shock here is that we're still not sure what she would have wanted to be done with these pictures.
Well, art is not a contest, fortunately, and we don't have to choose one artist over another. There's room for as many great artists as we find. Sadly, I think one of the lessons from this film is had Vivian's work not been discovered, it would have been lost forever, and it just suggests how many great works of art there are out there that have been lost in the past and will continue to be lost, and it's just our incredible good fortune that that Vivian's were found and are now being shared.
And my thanks to both of you for being on our show to talk about it. Charlie Siskel co-directed with John Maloof, the man who found Vivian Meyer's work and almost didn't take it seriously, but we're very grateful that you finally did. Their film, Finding Vivian Meyer, opens today at the IFC Center in the Lincoln Plaza Cinema. It's been a pleasure having you on our show.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much.